If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the living light and living word of the One Divine Spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our seminar topic is Busting the Ego's Game Plan. So, let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward multidimensionally to integrate into this present moment and occupy your divinity now. That is to say, be consciously aware here and now. Let everything else go. Take another deep breath. And release any other thoughts, any other things that you may have imported from your day. Let them all go now. And just present yourself to that part of you that is always aware and awake all the time. So, observation and cultivating awareness is the major training offered in every mystery school. It's so wonderful to realize that we never have to go any further than our own inner state, our own inner observation, to completely move from unconsciousness to full conscious awareness. And the spiritual process of enlightenment is just that. It's a journey from the unconsciousness of the mind to the full conscious awareness of the soul, so that that divinity within you, when awakened, is seen as the divine within all things. As within, so without. As above, so below. It is thus that the kingdom of heaven comes to you, and that the Christ is returned in the manger of your own heart and mind. So the task that we have before us is learning to operate in full alignment with our divine awareness and directing the mind and emotions and the body to come into that alignment so that they function simply as receiver transmitters of that higher beingness that is forever awake and aware. So let me ask you, as I like to do, where do you live? Say, for example, someone asks you, where do you live? And probably, without giving it a single consideration, you automatically tell them your physical location. But is that really where you live? The clergy may preach that you live and move and have your being in God, but is that your experiential reality? And for that matter, is it the experiential reality of that preacher? You can find out real quick. Just invite them out for lunch, and they'll soon become aware of where they're really living. So, again, where are you living and with whom? I think you catch the drift of where I'm heading with this, don't you? And if not, just hang in, because you'll soon become aware of the obvious here. And that is that wherever your body is parked, you really are living in your mind. So you're not where your body is, but where your mind is focused. Sai Baba used to tell us that your body is sitting here in darshan, but your mind is off shopping in the bazaar. Well, that's kind of true. So right now, where are you? Are you present and listening? Or are you fussing with or about something? You know, today we've invented so many devices to distance and distract our minds from being fully present in this moment. It's no wonder that stress and depression and upset stomachs are pandemic. It was interesting to note, a little sad too to me, that during my most recent trip to Sai Baba's ashram in India, there were many who had these cell phones stuck to their head and we're texting. So it's pretty obvious that we are living in our minds regardless of where we are physically. And I think it's time that we bust the game of this peace-robbing ego. And we do that by starting to notice where we are living right now. Where are you living in your own inner being right now? And notice how you can move from room to room in your home or from one location in the world to another. And no matter where you go, you've carried your inner state of mind with you. And so wherever you go, there you are. You know, people spend tremendous amounts of money just to get away from it all, to escape the rat race, to relax, have a little peace and quiet. But who is conscious and aware enough to notice that all that noise and hullabaloo they have imported with them in their own mind? Sometimes people even go on a retreat, perhaps a silent retreat, or start a program of meditation, and yet all their time is spent in conflict with themselves, trying to still their minds and stop thinking. Did you know that trying to stop your mind from thinking is as futile as trying to stop the waves of the ocean or a dog from panting? You don't stop thinking. You transcend that part of the mind that's engaged in thought. And you do that through being present now. So, our objective is one of moving from unconscious compulsion to conscious presence. If you will observe your habitual patterns of thought and emotion, you'll begin to notice how often unconscious compulsion spurs your reaction. Compulsion is the unconscious tendency to avoid, resist, reach for, or cling to something. Compulsion is always unconscious, ego-driven behavior. So the ego is always unconscious and continually in conflict with that which is. Is that part that always has an issue with whatever is taking place. The compulsion that drives the unconscious reactive patterns is always connected to the past. So it's a conglomerate of reactiveness and resistance that we import with us from life to life. And it's that compulsive behavior that the ego mind utilizes that keeps you from being consciously present and at peace now. And very few people have taken the time to slow down and examine their habits of reacting to daily events. You know, living with inner turmoil and with conflicting thoughts and feelings has become the background noise of most of our lives. And it's one that we, many of us, have never considered as other than, you know, normal and just the way things are. So the compulsive pattern of the unconscious mind is to judge and resist, which keeps us in constant conflict with whatever is taking place in the present moment. And this continual discontent and resisting whatever is taking place is what produces stress and eventually takes a toll on our health. So, what you resist persists. And you know, we've all heard that. But resistance to just about everything in our life has become so habitual that we don't even notice that we are resisting. You know, just about everything is posing some degree of resistance within us until we fully come conscious and present. So all resistance to what is comes from that ego, or that part of us that is the false self. You need to remember that the ego mind is both insane and entirely unconscious. And its default setting is resistance to whatever is present now. You might ask, why is the ego mind so resistant of present nowness? And it's this: God, your divinity, is that which is present now. It's always present now. Perfect peace is always present now. So the ego mind is dissolved whenever you are fully present here and now. One who is 100% present, we could say, is in God consciousness. Okay, so our task is to notice whenever we are not fully present here and now. The turbo on the wheel mindset that most live in is one of unconscious compulsion. And this is where unconscious patterns compel automatic reactions to people, to events, and we haven't even noticed in most cases. Instead, we reach for that drink or cigarette or that remote control, and we draw our minds into even deeper states of unconsciousness. And yet, you know what? To bust the ego's game plan is so simple. And it can be really fun, as long as you don't take it personally. What? Right. Don't take the ego's game plan personally. You are not the ego. You have nothing to do with the ego. You don't fight it, resist it, try to get rid of it, or anything. You simply become aware of it, of its compulsive patterns of resistance. That's it. That's all? Yes, that's all. So you move from unconsciousness and the resistance that is evidence of that unconsciousness simply to conscious observation who observes. You. You, the soul, are the very light of awareness itself. And that is what observes. And in that pure light of your awareness, all unconscious patterns simply dissolve, just as if you had walked into a dark room with a lantern, and the darkness simply dissipates. So that is what you do. You bring the light, you import the light of higher awareness into the unconscious states of your mind, and simply look without reacting, without attaching, without identifying with the content. So here are some simple practices that you can have fun with it throughout your day. Notice, this is a good one. You can all relate to this, I know. Notice when someone says or does something that you strongly disagree with. Okay? Got that in your mind? Notice that gripping, uptight feeling in your solar plexus. You know, the pit of your stomach that kind of goes, wonk. That constricting sensation in your heart as it closes your heart down. The minute you resist, your heart closes. Or your throat. It even blocks your clear expression. And that is the ego. You got a really good feeling for it now, right? That's that resisting and attempting to compel you to react. That is so simple once you recognize the symptoms of that pattern of unconsciousness that's robbing you of present bliss. So all you need to do when you feel that gripping in the pit of your stomach and you're really wanting to react and defend yourself or give your 2 cents worth, all you need to do is simply notice. Whenever that feeling of resistance hits you in the pit of your stomach, you just observe it. That's it. You just watch it. You just stay present with what you're feeling. Don't try to avoid the feelings. That's how you get in trouble, is that you dismiss the feelings. And the feelings in the pit of your stomach that are causing you to close down and feel attacked, those feelings are the very things that are telling you that you're in illusion. You are in the energy of falsehood. You know the saying, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free? That feeling of being constricted, restricted, confined, locked down, contracted, and closed from your loving is your prison. Those are your personal demons, you could call them, that are stealing, robbing, and destroying your experience of the kingdom of heaven right now, in this moment. So stay present with these feelings. Again, don't do anything with them. You don't have to. Just observe them without buying into and identifying with them and without reacting. Or, if you find yourself already reacting, even though you are aware that the ego is engaged, still try to watch yourself as you're reacting. See if you can create some spaciousness, some distance between the reactive part of you and who you are as the witness observer. So it's important that you don't go into judging or critiquing or talking to yourself about what's going on. Just stay present and quiet and observe your process. You'll notice that judging is another form of resistance to what is. Also, blaming and complaining. Just notice how the ego is never satisfied with the way things are. It will always find some reason to complain, to grouse, or to spew negativity. The ego is the false self. So it is always negative, even when it's pretending to be agreeable. It does that only because it is attempting to control, to change, or to manipulate for its own advantage. So in addition to observing the feelings of resistance to whatever is taking place in your not in your life, observe your habitual patterns of mental preoccupation. Where do you hang out in your thoughts? What do you host and keep company with in your day-to-day going about? I've often suggested that you replace thinking with repeating the name of the Lord or a mantra such as God and I are one. God is present and all is well. God is love and so am I. You know, it doesn't matter what you say. As long as it is God-focused and brings you into the energy of divinity. The name of the Lord burns mountains of sin. That's a quote from Sai Baba. The repetition of the name of the Lord purifies whatever is the recipient of that name vibration. That's why it says to do all things in the name of the Lord. And also not to take the name of the Lord in vain. Because the name of the Lord is, Baba says, even more powerful than the Lord himself. Because by repeating the Lord's name with devotion and love, the devotee actually binds the Lord to fulfill the word of that devotee. That's what Jesus meant when he said, whatsoever thing you ask in my name, I will do it. So asking in his name is the same as repeating the name of the Lord with regard to whatever it is you're engaged with. For example, when you eat your food or drink, whatever it is you're doing or consuming, always bless it in the name of the Lord. Then whatever pollutants or whatever is in that food is immediately transmuted. Even if you have a bad habit like drinking or smoking or whatever your addictive pattern is, if you will first offer it to the Lord, this may sound crazy, but it totally works. If you will dedicate whatever it is you're doing to the Lord first, you know, have that drink or cigarette or whatever and say, Lord, I dedicate this smoke to you. I dedicate this drink to you. I do this in your name. You know, that whole habit pattern will suddenly begin to be transmuted. And pretty soon you find you no longer have a desire to drink or smoke or whatever your addictive pattern is. I know I've overcome so many of my addictive patterns by doing this very thing that I'm talking about. So I know it works. So use the name of the Lord to dissolve, transmute, and dissipate negative energy, whether it's in your drink, your food, your habits, your mind, your emotional patterns, whatever. Utilize the power of the name of the Lord to step free through grace. And again, notice the patterns of your mind, your emotional patterns. Study your patterns of behavior like a behavioral research scientist. Notice the things that tend to throw you off balance or where you've invested a lot of energy and attachment. Those are surely going to be wrested from your grip at some point. Because in case you haven't noticed, everything in your life is for just a certain small cycle of time, and then in some way it leaves. You can look at that as loss, or you can look at that as making room for whatever is next. I think that's a better choice of interpretation. So self-realization naturally occurs to one who observes and cultivates conscious awareness. That's all you need to do. We've often said that yourself, capital S, the Atma, and the Divine Spirit are one and the same thing, or the Christ consciousness. So unconscious compulsive habits are carried over from life to life. They're conditioned areas that have not been brought into conscious awareness. So they don't go anywhere but into the unconscious repository and are stored on the etheric level. The etheric plane is the plane of unconsciousness. It is often experienced when you go into it as a feeling of falling into a dark void or feeling like you're spinning in a vortex of buzzing energy. Kind of makes you feel sick to your stomach when you go into that level. That's the level just before you break through into full soul awareness. And sometimes people go into that level and they become frightened and they don't want to meditate anymore. So that's why you need to have a good meditation practice, and you need to be guided by someone who understands the levels of consciousness that can guide you and help you to understand these different levels of your consciousness that you pass through. You know, the Alice in Wonderland. The Yellow Brick Road, you know, they follow the Yellow Brick Road, ta-da, ta-da, you know. Before they get to the Emerald City, they came to this poppy field, remember? And they couldn't stay awake. They kept falling asleep, falling unconscious. That is that plane of the etheric. It guards you from premature entry into the soul realm, symbolized in this case by the Emerald City. So the area that tends to where you go to sleep and fall into unconsciousness is the area that needs to be traversed. I have found that you can traverse that realm through deep, deep love and devotion and faith in God. That becomes like wings that you soar across that level. If you can do that, if you can muster just absolute surrender to God, you'll go through that level like, zoom, finished. You don't even hardly notice it. It's like your heart has wings. But otherwise, your work's cut out for you, because you're going to have to bring that level somehow. You're going to have to awaken or stay awake and have the courage to face your fears and to address your compulsive, addictive patterns and bring them into conscious awareness. So there are two ways. There is mindfulness or transcending the mind entirely through deep devotion and love of God. One is the path of jnana, jnana yoga, the path of the intellect, and the other is bhakti yoga, the path of devotion. So each person has a slightly different way of coming to this, and I like to describe and give many, many different approaches, because surely you'll find one that may work for you, or a combination. I've used a combination in my own life, so very often the things that I share with you are reflective of the combination of things that I've found that work for me. But you can, you know, discover your own ways too. So the way to dissolve these patterns is by becoming aware in the midst of the temptation to go unconscious. That's your temptation. Some of the yogis that practice Surat Shabd Yoga, the yoga of the sound current, they would tie their top knots. You know, they always let their hair grow long, or at least most of the yogis do. And they'll pile it on top of their head to protect their crown chakras from the sun and the elements. And they will tie their long hair to the top of their hut so that when they fall asleep or are tempted to fall asleep and their head falls forward or backward, their hair is jerked and it brings them back into awakened awareness. Other yogis will practice standing or doing some form of intricate yogic practice that keeps them from going unconscious and falling asleep. So there are many, many different approaches and practices that teach you to be here and there at the same time. You're developing an inner awareness that is present as your outer awareness, and yet you're fully anchored and present physically. It's kind of a double speak there, but those of you that are practicing this know exactly what I'm talking about. So you're here and there at the same time without being ditzy or spaced out of your body or ungrounded, and none of those things. You are integrated, functional, really able to be present and aware of the things around you and your environment. And again, this is training that we've all received in the inner mystery schools of consciousness from in many lifetimes. So once these unconscious patterns are revealed by observation, the unconscious energy is transformed into conscious awareness. And the trick is to stay present here and now and not to allow your mind to run the show. Just because it appears in your mind doesn't mean that you have to act it out. In fact, begin to discern the content of your mind. I've told you many times that the mind is a stream of consciousness that's shared by everyone. It's called the universal mind. So it's not your mind, it's just that your mind tends to gravitate and come into agreement with certain mental patterns that you then become attached to and think of as your thoughts. So don't allow the voices in your head to run the show. God doesn't speak to you as a voice in your head. God speaks as a knowing in your heart. That's the difference. People do sometimes very psychotic things, believing that God told them to do it. God is too smart to use the area where you are the most vulnerable and likely to be deceived to speak to you. God speaks directly into your conscience, directly into your heart, directly into your spirit, not your gerbil mind. And God always speaks in a way that allows you freedom of choice, does not compel you to act in a certain way. So it's your job to exercise conscious self-direction instead of just allowing that mind to keep you running, and never paying any attention to where you're actually going. So resistance is always ego-driven. Why do you think Jesus said to resist not evil? Because we lend energy to whatever we resist, and that causes it to persist. So again, it's kind of fun to watch whenever you have that reactive constriction because something in your environment is disagreeable to you. Our tendency is wanting to rearrange the furniture in this great grand illusion. Yeah, everything down here is a mental projection of illusion. There's not a single thing that's real down here but the love that you are. Everything else you could just, you know, look at it as window dressing or as areas to master, areas to see through, but certainly nothing to take terribly seriously, other than to know that your life is your arena where you develop the muscles of self-mastery. But just, you know, pay attention to when you feel that resistance and strong disagreement rise up within the pit of your stomach. Just pay attention to that. And you could, at that time, just consciously make a choice to pour the light of your soul through your eyes of observation, which is in your inner consciousness, in your mind. Illumine it, flood it with the light of awareness. And you'll notice that that resistance just kind of dissipates like fog before the sun. Notice when you're out and about during the day, whenever you feel impatient or irritated or uptight, again, observe your solar plexus, your gut. Stay present with the feelings that are coming up for you. That's the ego's compulsive resistance. And you know, it's trying to create drama out of what is taking place instead of allowing the peace of God to be present, which of course it can't do because then it would be destroyed. So you're observing and not reacting is starting to bust the ego's game. The ego has an intention to keep you constantly in conflict with that which is, and constantly creating and evolving and perpetrating dramas, so that you won't experience the peace, perfection, and beauty of the present moment. Yep, that's what your resistance is hiding. The peace, perfection, and beauty of the present moment. So every time you remember to not react and to simply observe, you are dissolving those areas of darkness within your mind. You'll notice, too, that you'll begin to identify yourself more as the objective observer. You'll begin to get a reference point for that part of you that is observing rather than the one that is experiencing the reactive feelings. You'll begin to identify that as the place of serenity in the midst of emotional feelings. Try to find that place of serenity in the midst of the storm of emotional feelings. Practice that. Begin to locate and identify the place of quiet stillness amidst the colliding of conflicting thoughts. Find and identify with that place of quiet stillness amidst the colliding of conflicting thoughts. You'll notice that within the thought stream, thoughts are generally conflicting. That's why in your spiritual practice, you learn to align every thought with a feeling that you can physically take an action on now. That's how you come into congruent alignment. That's your first step and stage of training to manifestation. That's how Sai Baba manifests whatever arises in his sankalpa, his divine will, because there's no conflict between his thought, his feeling, his will, and his ability to be completely congruent and aligned with all those levels. So be aware that you are neither the thoughts nor the emotional feelings that pass through you. You learn to become transparent. You learn to allow thoughts and feelings to pass right through you with nothing to block their passage. Without resistance, there is nothing within you to snag, block, or to delay their passing. Many people think they have to do something. that they have to process or understand. No, if it's of the ego, there's nothing to understand. It's insane, unconscious, and totally ignorant. It's a no thing. It's the embodiment of your sense of separation from love and goodness and God and grace, which is a total fiction and impossible. So just allow all of those reactive patterns to pass through you. Be as transparent as cheesecloth. Just let it all just go right through you. So here is a way you can practice this. The next time you notice something in your environment that is bothering you, that bothering feeling is resistance. Just notice the feeling of being bothered. And instead of resisting or trying to get the outer environment to change so you can be more comfortable, just allow the botheration to pass through you. Make a conscious effort to allow it to pass through you. I did that the other day. There was a phone from my roommate that was just like ringing, 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 really loud and sharp, and I was in a deep contemplative mood, and it was irritating me. So I made a conscious choice to take a deep breath and allow that sound. I just opened myself to the sound, okay, without resisting it, without annoyance. I opened myself to the sound and allowed it to just pass through me. And the minute I did that, I didn't notice it anymore. It just totally dissolved the botheration that I was experiencing. So learn to become transparent and let go. Instead, just allow whatever it is that annoys you to pass through you. Loud music, barking dogs, fighting neighbors, crying babies, honking horns, whatever. Don't resist. Instead, go really soft inside and allow it to pass through you. The feeling of relief that you experience will absolutely amaze you, as well as how simple it is to just relax and allow life to happen without allowing it to get to you. Notice how when you resist whatever, it suddenly becomes your issue. Yeah, by resisting, you're actually attracting it to you. And resistance causes whatever you resist to become stuck in your personal field of energy. Your resistance causes the irritant to suddenly become identified as yours. And then, through the karmic law, you must deal with your own creations. Yeah, if you created, allowed, or promoted it to be an issue in your life, then you're responsible for dealing with it. So suddenly you've bought the farm, when all you were trying to do was resist the smell of the manure. And that's exactly how karma operates. You know, it's no respecter of persons. It just lights on whoever has a problem with it. So it's these little everyday patterns of negativity that have been blocking your awareness of present bliss. That's all. That is what has been standing in the way of your truly enjoying life and being at peace within yourself, regardless of the outer circumstances. Do you know that no matter how much you resist what's taking place around you, it's going to be what it is. It's going to do what it does. And it's impossible to change the behavior of another person. Why in the world should they change their behavior so that you can be more comfortable in your ego state? Because that's the only part that would ever demand another person to change anyway, would be the false self. God sees the beauty and perfection of everyone and everything. So when you're looking out of your open-hearted divine awareness, you don't see anything that you would change. You celebrate diversity. You celebrate the differences in different people and their perspectives and the way they live and arrange to express their consciousness. So you do not need to make an issue out of your behavior or anyone's behavior, or the reactions of others, or what goes on in the world around you. That's just, you know, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Expand beyond the pettiness of personal preference and the addictive demands that the world accommodate your particular peculiarities. It's not going to do that. So save yourself a lot of frustration and disappointment and anger and all of that nonsense, and just learn to accept that which is with an open heart, with gratitude, with love, and be present. Be fully present here and now. And then you'll find that you're stepping free of these unconscious compulsive behaviors that have actually kept you in hell, your own personal version of hell. So learn to move with conscious deliberation, to be present with your actions. Pay attention to what you're doing. Stay conscious. When you're doing something, be present and responsible for your action. Say, for example, you're driving a car. Stay in harmony with the flow and pace of the traffic and with your fellow drivers. Stay in the flow and loving harmony of whatever is going on, wherever you are. Import the divine presence of peace wherever you happen to be. Notice how accidents occur when people are allowing unconscious compulsive behavior to throw them out of balance and harmony with the flow of life around them. That's when people get into accidents. Accidents are actually combustions of disparate energy that has not been consciously reined in and governed by the divine perfection of the divine order of things. I'm, for example, never concerned about time. As far as I'm concerned, I'm always in God's time. Even if it looks like I'm too late or too early, I will do everything in my power to be on time. But if something interferes or intervenes that is unexpected, I accept that as part of the divine flow. So I don't go into resistance and fighting that which is, even on the simplest areas of my life. You'll notice when you attune to each day that each day suggests a proper behavior and a proper area of focus. Some days you're going to be, for example, if you're like me and you're a writer, some days you'll awaken and that urge to write is inspiring you from the time you open your eyes, and you can hardly wait to get to the computer to write. Other days, you could sit there for a half an hour in frustration and nothing would occur because you're resisting the present moment, which is not suggesting that you write. If you learn to flow in harmony with that inner inspiration, you will always be in God's perfect divine order. And it's so, you know, it's so easy to live like that. Let me give you an example of how to be present in divine awareness without thought. You can all relate to this. Say you go out on a day for a drive, and all of a sudden your breath is taken away by the beauty of the mountains and the sky. And you just maybe pull over on the side of the road, and you're stunned to absolute stillness as you become completely absorbed in the beauty. You'll notice in those moments that you're in pure awareness without thought. Do you know that you can cultivate that state to where you're in that all the time? That's pretty much the state that I'm in most of the time. And I didn't really realize that that was awareness until I began to realize, wow, I'm aware of the beauty of nature because I'm seeing it through the divine stillness and awareness of my soul, my higher nature, which is in a constant state of divine adoration, divine celebration, divine appreciation. That's what a mystic state is. You're in that mystical elevation of consciousness that catches you up into silent awe. And you see beauty everywhere. And I also notice that I notice the tiniest little things in my environment. I notice the pattern and the texture and the feeling, the smell, the sensation, the differentiation, all of the various things. Like, without resistance. For example, a very, very noisy siren just went by, but I absorbed it as part of my environment. As you know, I love the statement in the Course in Miracles where it says that all sounds are but echoes of the voice for God. How beautiful. And what about this? All things that I see are but reflections of my own beloved. You know, there's a way to make your life work so that everything in your life reflects back to you the beauty, harmony, beauty of God, of the love that is, of the peace that prevails, of the perfection that underlies the events of everything that happens in life. Only the mind distorts and colors perception to make it appear as that which it is not. Only the ego mind. And when that part of the mind is transmuted in present awareness, the world seems like suddenly it has changed. But the only thing that has changed is that you have awakened beyond the conflict of the mind stream to that which is. So, a big key is to get grounded physically. You'll notice that most problems occur when you're not paying attention to being present here and now. When you are not being responsible for your 10 acres. When you're not consciously managing your areas of responsibility, that's where you get into problems. And the only thing that's the problem here is that you're lacking awareness. You're thinking for some reason this is less important than that. And only the mind makes comparisons like that. To the God-realized person, everything is accorded equal honoring, equal respect, equal attention, equal impeccability in how you engage with it. That's something you notice with every enlightened being, is that they live a life of intense impeccability and awareness, and that awareness is accorded to everything because they see everything as part of the one whole. So you don't treat something as superior and something else as inferior. You love it all. You embrace it all. You accept it all. You become one with all things. And in that, you become in one accord. And when you're in one accord, the Holy Spirit will fill you and overflow in every area of your life with a power and a presence and an anointing that absolutely works miracles. And all you did was embrace life with love. All you did was observe that part that doesn't want to do that and not allow it to run you. All you do is just breathe in and breathe out and come into agreement that everything is just as it needs to be here and now. It doesn't need your saving. The Lord Jesus Christ already took care of salvation. It's a gift. You just receive it. And part of the gift of salvation is becoming one with the Father within you and the Mother within you. And the Father, Mother, God principle is simply the Father, which is truth, and the Mother, which is love. And together they have a Son, and the Son is wisdom, or the awareness of soul, or Christ consciousness. So you see, you can language this in many, many ways, but it all boils down to the same thing. You are made in the image and likeness of love. Love is your truth. You live and move and have your being in love. And the only thing that would seem not to come into agreement with that is a false thought form of separation that we call the ego mind. And you can elect to change your mind. You can choose who you will follow. You can follow the Christ, or you can follow the ego. You can heed the voice of truth that speaks within your conscience and your heart, or you can listen to the many voices of the mind and its conditioned patterns. It's your choice. You can't be lost, because God loves all of its creation. And God can never lose itself, because God is the self in all things. And it is inevitable that all will awaken eventually to know the fullness of that self. Everyone will be born the Lord. Everyone will awaken to find that they have never left the heart of God. Everyone will ring and sing with praise and unending adoration to the all that is. And when you do that, in time and space, is simply a choice on your part. So what are you responsible for? Sai Baba has reduced it to a very simple formula. He often produces watches for people during interviews, and the watch is symbolic of just this. W means watch your words. A, watch your actions. T, watch your thoughts. C, watch your character. H, watch your heart. So observe and monitor. Watch your words, your actions, your thoughts, your character, and your heart. And that is how you can move from unconscious reactive ego compulsion to conscious divine awareness. And just know that you are the love. And with every choice to become present with your loving, you are moving into self-mastery and spiritual freedom. You are awakening as the promised one. And you are recognizing that the perfection and the love of God is present right now in this very moment. Let's take a deep breath and go out chanting on IQ. Deep breath. Be the peace of God, for that is the truth of this present moment. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord. Adonai.